morning and welcome to WNHH Radio's High Haven, a program about everything Jewish in our community. And what could be more Jewish than the book, or specifically reading books? Our guests today do a lot of reading, not just for themselves, but with young people who are learning to read. They're with the Jewish Coalition for Literacy, JCL, a non-denominational, non-sectarian program that recruits, trains, and places volunteer readers with children who need some help. You often see them in New Haven Public Schools, so say hello to Brenda Brenner, who runs the program, Etta Kopf, Ruth Sachs, and Scott Zimmerman, who take their time out of their weeks to volunteer for this program. Welcome, everybody.
Morning.
Early Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.
And hope everyone's doing well today. I was going to start out by asking Brenda. Brenda, you've been running this for quite a while, right? Jewish Coalition for Literacy. How long has that been around?
It's been around for about 15 years. We started with a handful of volunteers at Columbus Family Academy.
And Brenda, I'm going to ask you to get so close to that mic. You're almost touching it.
We started with a handful of volunteers at Columbus Family Academy, a great school in Grand Avenue. And we're now in 7 partner schools with about 170 volunteer reading partners.
That's great. So you go to all these schools,
right?
And you read to the kids. How often?
We read once a week. This is a unique opportunity to volunteer, since you choose the hour of the day, the day of the week, the grade of the child, and you work with the literacy coach and 2 JCL team leaders at that school. And you read one-on-one with that student for half an hour, and then usually another student for another half hour. And what you're really doing is just reading and sharing stories and encouraging the child to express themselves.
So how did this come about 15 years ago? It sounds like you've been there the whole time, Brenda. And why did it come about?
Well, in response to the Clinton administration's getting all the children on grade level by 4th grade, there is a person in Boston, Leonard Fine, who started the organization, and it grew to 45 throughout the country, 45 different organizations.
Leonard Fine, he's a famous liberal writer, author. Didn't he once edit the Connecticut Jewish Ledger? Am I missing my history on that? I know he's a Boston guy, and he wrote for the Forward.
You could be right, but I don't know if it was a Connecticut Jewish Ledger.
He might be mixing him up with somebody else, but I know he was from Boston. He wrote for the Forward.
He was an incredible guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And each of the organizations do things a little differently. We are not taking the place of a tutor or a teacher, but we're enhancing the child's literacy skills. It's an enrichment program, and we're really trying to get the child to use words and speak in sentences and be able to talk about a story they've read that we can read to them with expressive language, and they get to hear stories that they wouldn't have the opportunity to hear many times.
So they hear the story, and then you talk about the story?
Right.
And does the kid read?
And if the child wants to read, they read at their comfort level, where they can enjoy the experience and gain from it. So it's not
nice
a time to struggle.
It's also nice to just have someone reading you a book when you're a little kid. I mean, my kids, I remember when they grew up, we were still doing it when they were in their teens.
I was going to say, even big people like it too.
We love it too. Yeah, and our house is always reading out loud. I know that they say that when kids are read too early, that has a big impact on their later skills, their language skills, and success in life. And they say there's a deficit with that in certain kind of homes where it's stressed, a lot of people start out when they go to school knowing a lot more words, having a lot more familiarity with language, and even that contact with parents who are just physically next to them while they're reading. And a lot of kids don't get that. Is that part of what we're up to here, Scott?
Yes, definitely. What we see is they have a very minute level. They have a very minute level of vocabulary, and that's of a great concern. If they're big words, or they don't know what the word actually means, it's of great concern. And we do as best we can on a week-to-week basis to try to expand that, because in many cases, unfortunately, we find that the child meeting with us for half an hour once a week is about the only real reading, that close personal reading that they get. And it's a shame. It really is. So,
what is the impact? Have you, Brenda, ever looked at the impact of having that half hour a week?
Yes, our teachers and the administrators of the schools fill out a survey at the end of the year and tell us the gains that the child have made of course, they're not all due to our participation, but for all the people that work with them.
You play a role.
We play a major role. The child's going back in the classroom with a big smile on their face and just thrilled that they were with their reading partner.
So, Brenda, you talked about 15 years ago, the Clinton administration said we want all kids at reading level by fourth grade. Leonard Fine said, let's start these organizations. The group you were involved in, New Haven, how did you start it, and how did it come about that New Haven became part of this effort?
Actually, Alan Cooper started it, and I was a volunteer at Columbus when I was recruited to lead the program about a year or two after he and another group of people started it. But it's really due to Alan Cooper who got involved.
So you and how did you end up volunteering for it? How did you hear about it? Why did you want to do it?
It was marketed, and I decided instead of working 5 days a week at my job, I'd work 4 days a week.
Really?
And I had an hour to, you always have an hour to volunteer to help the community. And so that's what I did. And I knew Sidney Perry. I knew other people involved. And we got talking and I came on board.
Brenda, what were you doing at a job at the time?
I'm a former teacher, but I was a but I was a professional. Actually, for many years, I was a professional rep for Blue Cross and Blue Shield, where I work with the physicians in the community.
So, what was it like when you went there? Was this a revelation? Did you say I found what I'd like to do, or was it like, oh, I remember being a teacher like this and being a, I don't know if you're a mom, you know, so like I can do this in my sleep, or what was it like when?
Oh,
you went?
But it's not like being a teacher because you have 26 children in the classroom and you have so many demands on you. You never know what those children went through before they got to school in the morning. When I'm working with a child now, you're working one-on-one with them. They look forward. They know the day I'm coming. They know the hour I'm coming. And they would miss me terribly if I didn't show up for that half hour.
Who was the first kid you read to?
At Columbus?
Yeah.
Oh, many students. Actually, I think Columbus wasn't as... we sort of got the program off and running to where it is today at Columbus. And I read with older students. They were more like fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. We now go to kindergarten through second, sometimes third, sometimes first, because, as we say, children learn to read through third grade. After that, they read to learn. So if you don't have a child that's reading by third grade, that child really has an issue and a challenge to contend with.
Brenda, do you remember a particular kid early on you bonded with? Or
I remember so many of them. I can't think of what they were. I can say more that I bonded with them, that we were told not to hug them, to touch them, and yet they did that for us. They came and they shook our hand. They put big smiles on our faces.
Isn't that sad about modern life? And there's reasons for that and good reasons to tell you not to do that. But one of the great parts of reading with your kids is snuggling, you know, drinking milk or whatever. You know,
so we don't initiate it, but yeah. The child does.
Yeah, there's depending on what school you go to. I know we have at Davis, there's a lot of comfortable chairs, and it's kind of, they've encouraged us to use those areas in the library. And you find the student may come in that day and be very sheepish or annoyed or unhappy with whatever's going on in the first couple hours of the day. And then when you meet with them and bring them into the library, and if you get some of these comfy chairs, they all of a sudden start getting comfy and it makes it easier to go. And it's them initiating it.
Yeah.
And
I guess that's important.
Hopefully it's nice for them.
You let a kid initiate, because I get sad about modern life that way. There's so many good reasons for it, and I'm not questioning those kind of rules that the adult who doesn't know the kids shouldn't touch. It's just sad to me. Because I remember like going to youth centers when I started reporting 35 years ago in New Haven. And I remember how important it was to each kid to go up and just touch. Sometimes just touching the hand or the shoulder of the adult who was running the youth center. And again, there's so many problems. It was abuse. We have to keep our kids safe. You know, the modern world's got its sad needs that we have to accommodate. But I just remember how important it is for kids to touch and be touched, you know. But anyway, so Brenda, obviously something took, because this became your profession. You are running the program now. And so how did that happen that you said, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield, I do good work there. I was a teacher. I got skills at how to manage a class of 26 kids. But how did it come that you were doing this full time?
Because I retired. This is what I do in my retirement. But I have to tell you, the people I met, like Ruth and Hedda and Scott and all the other 170, have been such a delight to be with. You've learned so much from them. They all do their lessons with the child at a different pace, at a different level. there's nothing that they have to accomplish. They don't have a goal they have to reach. They're just enjoying the written word and the conversation.
And then you won an award recently, the TAPS Award. What was that? 2015 TAPS Award winner, JCL.
Right. That's an award that is given to different organizations in the community that have done above and beyond to help the children.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're talking about that on High Haven on WNHH Radio, broadcast at 103.5 FM, live streamed at newhavenindependent.org, and we are on Facebook Live. We're visiting today with Brenda Brenner, who runs the Jewish Coalition for Literacy, JCL, and some of the people who volunteer their time to make that happen, to read to kids, Hedda Kopf, Ruth Sachs, and Scott Zimmerman. Just so you know, if you want to get involved with JCL, if you want to read to kids and make such a big difference in their lives, there's an orientation session coming this Tuesday, September 26th. It's going to take place at the Woodbridge Club, 10 Millhaven Road, off Ansonia Road in Woodbridge. It's going to start at 9:30. That's Tuesday, September 26th. And if you had any doubts about why you should go, there will be a light breakfast courtesy of Abel's. You talked, Brenda, about people made a difference. One of them has been Ruth Sachs, and maybe if you could move the microphone so Ruth can talk right into it. Ruth, how did you get involved in reading to the kids?
Well, I had worked at Yale University Press for 26 years, having a really fun job writing copy for all the book jackets. And when I retired, I thought, okay, this was fun for me, but now I'd like to do something that is good for other people. So I learned about this program, and I joined 7 years ago at Davis School, which is in Westville, and I have worked with a number of children there, and I have read with them and played with them and exchanged stories with them, and they've become my friends. So
can
that,
you think of a particular kid who really got into your heart, or with whom you made a connection, or you saw?
I have an inspirational story for you.
Let's hear it.
You
ready?
Just wait.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, there was a little girl in kindergarten, and she came to me with her shoulders all hunched and a sad expression on her face, and didn't talk very much, was very shy and quiet. And it turned out over the course of some conversations that she had a terrible home life. She lived with parents who fought constantly. Police were called. The child had to be moved out of her home to live with other relatives, and came back and then was removed again. She was sad legitimately, but over the course of the year, she learned how to read, and she got better and better at it. And as Brenda said, it was not just due to me. She had a great classroom teacher. She had specialists. But I had to think I had some credit in this. And her whole demeanor changed. She stood up taller and she smiled. She even laughed occasionally. She volunteered. At the end of the year, Davis and all the other schools have a ceremony, like a graduation ceremony, where each child gets a certificate and some munchies to eat, and hopefully a talk from an administration official who congratulates them, and also a book from the reading partner, the adult reading partner, to each child. So it was a no-brainer for me, because I had been reading with this child in an anthology of favorite children's stories. First, I was reading them all, and then she was reading some of them. And so I got a copy of this for her, and I gave it to her, and her eyes got huge and teary, and she said, this is for me. I can take this home and keep it. And when I said yes, she threw her arms around me and said, I love you.
Boy, 1 hour a week, and look what you did. Look what you got back, too. But it is amazing when you think about in all our lives what love of reading does for us, the places it takes us out of the everyday world, whether it's challenges or stuff. You know, just it opens us to other worlds, and it gives us a sense of self, don't you think?
Yes.
It helps us find ourselves. Do you remember when the light went off in this girl's eyes? Remember any particular moment when a particular book or...
It was gradual.
And do you remember what she liked to read most?
She liked to read these stories that, started with Goodnight Moon and went on to more complicated ones.
And have you kept in touch with her at all? Have you seen her?
I haven't, because she has... I should, but she read well enough that she was not back in the program the next year.
She got her wings. She got her wings, Ruth.
In kindergarten. Yeah. She was in kindergarten.
It was funny. You said you made this comment that you had fun writing the book copy for the jackets at Yale Press. Then you said you're tired. Now I want to help other people. I would argue that you were doing public service in your job at Yale Press. I mean, it was a job, right? And you enjoyed it, God forbid. But don't you think that academic press and writing book jackets are going to help people find out what's in these books and maybe read them? I mean, that's...
Nah.
No?
Well, some, but not
the same thing as this
directly.
Girl. Right, yes. Right. Okay.
I just have to make one comment. As Ruth was telling her story, the young lady sitting next to her seemed her smile and this sort of glow was coming over her face more and more. So I think that she was sort of helping to teach this child, even though she wasn't doing it. She just was really recognizing what the things are that happened here.
Do you remember a moment, Ruth, that you kind of said, this isn't working, I got to do something differently? Did you, when you learned how to do this, you're doing 7 years, I'm sure you're an old pro at this, and sounds like from the beginning you took to it. Was there an experience that said, I need to do things a little differently with these kids to reach them?
Oh, yes. I told you my best success story. There were very, very many other children who were more problematic, who were very restless, who couldn't sit still, who had a short attention span. And I learned a lot from Brenda and from the other volunteers on ways to handle those kind of children, that sometimes it's okay to say, let's just jump for 2 minutes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So jump for 2 minutes to get the ants out of their pants, the spilkas,
yes,
and then they can sit down and read.
Exactly.
That's
or dance.
That's great advice. Yeah, so Hedda, I'm going to ask you about the dance. So you've done this, Hedda. You've been, Hedda Koff, you've been not a tutor, I've heard not to say that, but you've been a volunteer reader for how many years?
This will be my fourth year.
Fourth year.
Yes.
And you've actually danced with the kids?
Yes.
Was it the Macarena or the Hora?
No, it was, and she did great splits too. this was one little girl who did have trouble sitting still, and we actually had to meet in the auditorium one day because the library wasn't available. We couldn't find a space. The auditorium was empty. And so as we were sitting in the audience part, and I could see that she was so restless, I just offered that she should go up on stage and perform for me because she told me she liked to dance. And
so she did.
And it was lovely.
And what happened after that?
Well, then whenever we were together, I gave her a couple of minutes, even in the library, because there was carpeting, for her to do a little dance. And so...
Did she ever bring books about dancing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you're able to choose some of the books to bring to them? Like, how do you decide what to read to the kids?
Well, I often go to the public library before I meet with them and just look through all the collection to try to find things that I think is at their level in terms of their interest, but also if they feel like reading, that they would choose to read some of that to me. Sometimes we use the school library. My granddaughter and my grandsons have incredible collections of books. They're now teenagers. So I have borrowed or taken numbers of books that I remember reading to them that are particularly special to me because of those memories. And as a result, I share with these kids, with my students. So just wherever there's a book, that's where I find it and share.
So you didn't come new to this world of promoting reading and language. You were a lecturer with the Institute of Learning. What is the Institute of Learning?
Well, that's my most recent career. I actually taught at Quinnipiac University for more than 30 years.
Oh, what'd you teach?
English and women's studies.
Okay.
So I've been sharing books for most of my adult life. The Institute for Learning and Retirement is a program for people who are retired who want to come back and take classes. And I've been teaching there for the last 4 years as well. Literature, anything that I love to share. So books are really my passion. And so I go from a kindergartner to a 84-year-old retired person.
Do you have a favorite book of your own that you
yes.
read? What's that?
Well, Virginia Woolf is the love of my life. And I guess To the Lighthouse would be the book.
All right.
But if we have a minute, I'd love to share one student with you.
Tell me about
him.
He's the
one who lights me up. Brenda's smiling because I talk about him all the time and I have chills even when I think about him. This is a little boy who is of Turkish ancestry. His mother does not speak English. He's got three older siblings, much older than he is. And he's incredibly articulate and incredibly bright. But reading is a battle, a struggle for him. And he was left back, actually, twice in the first grade. And so this year, he'll be in the third grade, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again. But we actually spent a lot of time just talking or doing art because his reading really seemed painful for him, and I didn't want to have him have that feeling about reading. So either I would read to him, or he would just narrate stories to me and I would write them down so he would have the words on a page that he could read, but then he would illustrate it because he's a really wonderful
artist.
What a
great idea.
And I've struggled with actually giving him up as my reading partner.
Did he get to a point where he was reading more, he got more comfortable?
Yes.
So
and
how did
last
that happen?
Year, well, I think with a lot of help from the school and also maturity. I'm really looking forward to seeing him now to see what's happened over the summer. Hopefully he's continued to progress.
So interesting. So part of being a reading, we won't say tutor, a volunteer reader to get these people active in reading is sometimes not to read. We heard about how Ruth had them, get up or you had them dance, but even a kid who needed to get more comfortable was just hearing reading, narrate a story to get in
exactly.
the story that way, do some art. And that's
exactly.
all part of the process of story and narration.
And playing games so that they can win. And that happens a lot. And it's not because I'm trying to lose. It's because my kids, are really good at other kinds of skills. And so if they leave the half hour feeling really good about themselves, and I've read a book to them, I think those things go together.
And you did women's studies, and you think about the importance of books there. The Times had a story recently about one of the feminist professors talking about the impact on Susan Brownmiller's book,
yes.
or some of the other famous, the generation after Betty Friedan, when her feminine mystique inspired so many people. There was the New Feminist in the 70s who had Robin Morgan and others
Absolutely.
Who wrote those books. And books really help people see a new way.
Well, I have one little girl, an African-American girl, who is very, very, very girly. Every time I see her, I wonder how her hair and her shoes and her socks and everything. So this year for the book, as Ruth mentioned about giving a book as a gift, I gave her a book about an African-American girl scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case she wants to know there's another, there's a larger world than Sparkles. With no commentary, just, take it home for the summer, enjoy it, and, broaden your horizons.
And students throughout New Haven are seeing a broader world thanks to Jewish Coalition for Literacy, JCL, which has an orientation next week, Tuesday, if you want to become a volunteer reader, just like the people you're meeting today here on High Haven and WNHH. And we are at WNHH Radio 103.5 FM, live streamed at newhavenindependent.org. We're meeting with Brenda Brenner, who runs JCL, with Hedda Kopf, Ruth Sachs, and Scott Zimmerman, who are people who have other jobs or retire from jobs who dedicate an hour a week to make a difference in a kid's life by reading. So, Scott, now you're an officer at People's Bank?
Yes, sir.
In Bridgeport or New Haven?
Actually, in Woodbridge.
Woodbridge, okay. Yeah. And how did you? When did you get involved at JCL and how?
A good friend of mine, Jean Sanderson, who's actually part of the group itself, she had said to me she thought that it would be something that would match some of my skills or things that I enjoyed doing with the program itself. So I believe I got in touch with Brenda, if I'm not mistaken, or Evelyn, who was helping run the program at that time. And they were looking for help, as we always do.
And when was this, Scott?
I'm going into my seventh year.
Okay, so you guys are long timers. This is a serious commitment here.
And I was placed at Davis Street, which worked out very well because it's about, I don't know, 3/4 mile away from my branch, which made it easy as far as time commitment and travel back and forth. And I just enjoyed it from day one, absolutely. There was everything about it, from feeling like you're making an impact, hoping you're making an impact, just having somebody that sort of becomes your friend and somebody who wants to spend time with you. And it just really comes down to hoping you make an impact. I know there's something somewhere written where, you know, you feel like you want to leave this earth a little bit better.
Right. When you leave, we all found that way. Yeah.
And you know, you just hope that you're doing even one little small bit of that.
It's interesting to me how for many of us, and even though many of us love our work and care about it and think it makes a difference, it's often the work we do not for pay, not as our job, that's so meaningful that we remember, you know. I don't know if that's true for, I've seen some heads nodding here. Mm-hmm. You're a banker, Scott. What's it like to shift from banker mode to volunteer reader mode?
Not hard at all, literally. I mean, again, I look forward to going. I spend my one hour there, you know, whatever day of the week that I can get out of the bank, depending on the scheduling at the bank itself. And the school's been very good about that. I'll email the teacher the day before and I'll say, I'd like to come tomorrow, can I? So we have this communication that way, so that if for some reason they have a school trip or the child's going to be away for that day, whatever it may be, I know ahead of time so I can limit those times where I go and the student's not available.
Lola Nathan hasn't been there for years now. Who's the principal now at Davis?
Sabella Coleman.
Yeah, yes. She's been in the system a long time. Yeah. So you work with her.
Yes. We actually work with the individual teachers. We'll work with the principal at a time the first of the year, or excuse me, the beginning of the year. We'll also work with the literacy coach from the school itself. And then obviously we get down to working with the teachers directly, and they have a big impact on it. I firmly believe that they've been great support to us and making sure that, you know, when we get there, the child's there, they're available. There's some books if the child has something specific they want to read. So having the support of the child, the teacher, I believe, is really the most important thing.
Scott, do you remember a day we talked to Rhoda, we talked ahead about, do you remember a day that when you were reading to a kid where you had a challenge and it was a meaningful encounter where you made a difference that sticks out in your mind from your 7 years here? Or a particular kid you've worked with?
There's a young man named Eddie who I had, I'm going to guess, probably about 3 years ago. And high energy, jumping around, have to find a way to just kind of get him, but he, you know, get him calmed down. He gets it out of his system. Then most times he's willing and ready to sit and read. Then you just have to decide who's reading what today. Am I reading half of it? Am I reading all of it? Am I reading none of it? And you have to kind of plan your program for that day depending on how the child is feeling, what mood they're in. You know, if they don't want to read everything, you don't want to force that in, because then it they're not going to get anything out of that day, and you certainly don't want to waste a half an hour of their time. So when I think of everybody, he just stands out because he was a cute kid, a great kid, and he just took me by surprise last year. He wasn't my student last year. All of a sudden, I'm walking in the hallway, and this is one of the nice things also that I'm sure the ladies could all agree to, is all of a sudden, this student who you don't have anymore, because if I'm not mistaken, Brenda, it's up through second grade we have him, right? And I saw him in the hallway. I didn't even recognize it was him. He had grown so much over the summer, and he just screams out, "Scott!" And he puts his arms around me, and it just is a great feeling.
You know,
absolutely
every time
great feeling.
I walk into a public school, I feel happy. You know, being around all those kids, it really is a happy feeling. You know, when we go think about our adult workaday lives, how great it is to walk into a school. Scott, what's your favorite book to read?
My wife's going to kill me. I like reading a lot of things, but I'm probably more into things like I love The Godfather. I could read that over and over again. I know some men will talk about like the world stops when The Godfather's on. That's probably one of my favorites. I recently received a book from somebody who Francis Ford Coppola put together what really went on with the movie and how he changed things around and so on and so forth. They get to really see how the movie was made and the things they take out, put in, how they wanted scenes to be put together. And it was fascinating just to see a movie be made through this.
So from Virginia Woolf to Mario Puzo. Now, how common is it for a man to be a volunteer reader? Is it mostly women, Brenda?
I would say it's a lot of women, but we certainly have men. We have about three men, Ruth and Scott at Davis. I would say we have a good 20 men.
And how many? Again,
we
how many
love two, to have a man. Look at Scott, this big, handsome, tall guy.
Boys.
And he walks into Davis School and has his second graders that he's reading with. It's wonderful. What a role model it is.
And boys do need sometimes. They do looking for a man to sort of be a model in their lives or connect to.
Definitely. Even the young girls. Yes, absolutely.
Brenda, how many volunteer readers overall do you have?
We had about 170.
Wow. And how many schools again?
7 partner schools in the New Haven area.
So now, why is this Jewish? Why is it the Jewish Coalition for Literacy? You're not reading the Jewish kids for the most part. You're not reading Jewish books for the most part. What makes this enterprise Jewish?
No, it's a non-sectarian program. We in New Haven area have, I would say, a third non-Jewish people. I have no idea who was Jewish and who was not.
It's more a Jewish institution, the Federation that has sponsored this and helped make this happen.
Right.
Is it tzedakah, right? As a way to give to the community.
Right. We talk about tikkun olam, healing a little corner of the world. And that's really what we're doing, one child at a time. We heal that little corner.
I guess I'm asking, how does it fit into Jewish way of looking at the world or being part of a community?
Jewish people basically have a love of books, have a love of literacy, have a love of education. And the one way we can see to help our world is to make sure our young kids can read so they can have productive lives and have successful economic lives also.
So, Brendan, next Tuesday, September 26th, 9:30 a.m. at the Woodbridge Club on Millhaven Road off Ansoni Road in Woodbridge, there's going to be an orientation session for more adults who want to make a difference in kids' lives the way that Scott and Hedda and Ruth and Brenda and so many others have been doing. Brenda, what is your pitch to them about why they should come to this orientation session?
Because, first of all, they'll see who volunteers and they'll be very impressed, which is a very nice thing. But also, we have 3 educators from our community that are coming to give us different ideas and tips of how to read with the children. You know, you have to realize that we don't have a structure. So when you, the volunteer, meets the child, you're doing the same thing you're doing with your own child or your own grandchild. Only in this case, you get to focus on the child and you don't get to excuse yourself to check the oven for your chicken dinner or to talk on the telephone. This is a half hour just giving that caring attention to the child. And you don't have a structure that you have to deal with. Here you are, an adult that absolutely enjoys reading and wants to talk about the book. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have in common with a child?
And so next Tuesday, Brenda, if they want to find out more, is there a website people can go to?
Sure, they can just email me at bbrenner@jewishnewhaven.org.
And Brenner is B-R-E-N-N-E-R. bbrenner@jewishnewhaven.org. Right. They can call 203-387-2424, extension 308.
Exactly.
And also, people do like to go on the web. Would they just go to the Jewish Federation of Greater New Haven?
Absolutely, and you'll see that there's a link to JCL.
All right, well, thanks so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you for having us. This was delightful.
Brenda Brenner, head of Conf, who's Scott Zimmer. So nice to meet you all.
Thank you.
And thanks for
nice to meet you.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Thanks for doing what you do and making a difference in the lives of so many children in New Haven, doing your part. You don't claim to the people who are the fixing everything for any kid who has a problem or being the only one who's teaching them how to read. You're playing a part, and what a great part you're playing.
Paul, you'll never know how you affect that child.
But they affect us, too. Let's not forget that.
All right. And we did hear about that. So please, next Tuesday, September 26th, 9:30 a.m., the Woodbridge Club, check it out and find out how you could be a part of the Jewish Coalition for Literacy.
You'll be most welcome.
And thank you for listening today. We're going to take it out, the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free from the group CD, A Plea for Peace. Now, we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Book it with us all week long here at WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.